yet another episode of Shift the Narrative and Everything Autism. This is our, I think it's like the fourth episode we've recorded in 5 days or something. We've been putting in the work, folks.
We're on a roll.
I'm Torin Kearns. And as usual, I'm joined by the autism sage herself, Mama Baden. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. And I am ready to get into a good conversation.
I finally convinced her to get a new mic. So now she has that like NPR host voice.
I remember
NPR. I always have like a positive affinity for NPR. When I was in college on like a Saturday or Sunday morning, afternoon, I'd be laying in bed, completely hungover, just listening to NPR. Like you have that like splitting headache. You don't want to move. Just listening to the suturing voice. The soothing voices.
Yes.
Of NPR while I nursed really bad hangovers. So I'll always remember that. Those are fond memories. But today, we do have a topic, and it's not about hangovers.
No, it's not.
I want to, and y'all read the title before you tapped in, I want to talk about some of the fake diagnoses that autistic people often get. Misunderstandings about these diagnoses that autistic people often have and other people have that are made primarily to avoid saying somebody who has lower support needs is actually autistic.
Yes.
So these include things like the big one that's been making its rounds, which actually isn't new, but it's sort of hit social media, so therefore it's new, is highly sensitive persons or HSP. Dyslexia for you, which is basically a way to avoid saying someone is autistic. There's like, no, you're not having bad sensory reactions to things. Yeah. You're just a highly sensitive. Which to me sounds even more insulting. Like, just tell me I'm on the spectrum. See, that makes sense. You're saying I'm highly sensitive. You're basically just saying like I'm soft. But like that's how I take it. Others involve things like gendered autism, which is we'll get into later, this idea that men and women have different types of autism, which has a whole bunch of issues. Namely, it doesn't include trans people, which is a sizable part of the autistic community. It's not.
Yes, it is.
And among other things, oftentimes autistic people, especially adults, will get diagnosed with a CVS receipt worth of diagnoses that if you combine them together,
it's autism.
Like, yes. But they don't want to say the word. So I really want to talk about it because what spurred me to do this episode is there's a autistic content creator. I believe her name was Rebecca Faith Cruz, something like that. She's like a content creator, comedian, and she was getting into these long running comment threads over several days about the idea of gendered autism and a lot of these misconceptions. And the second thing is, the other day there's a powerlifter, a very, very world-class powerlifter, like at a high level, who talked about how she's autistic. And the whole comment section, she's French, so most of it was in French, thank God. But the English stuff was basically like, you don't look it, or people attacking her saying, that's not real autism, you're insulting people because real autism is something meltdowns. I don't know. So I really wanted to record an episode to clear up some of these misconceptions because I'm sick of seeing them. And whenever I see them, I have no choice but to choose violence. So I've been spending more than a productive amount of time just arguing with MFers.
Oh, wow. That sounds like fun. I remember going through that phase. Every now and then it's a little entertaining.
Yeah. Yes. So instead of doing that, I'm just going to use this whole episode to choose violence and just spam
Perfect.
It.
Yes. Perfect. It's one of my favorite things.
But the first thing I want to cover is highly sensitive person, HSP. I did it. HSP.
You did. And 3 stars for Torin.
My question is, so what do you know about this? Because I'm relatively new to it. I haven't heard, apparently it's been around for decades, but I haven't heard this diagnosis till like last week. But apparently it's a thing now.
So what I will say is this. I will say from the perspective of someone who works with parents, A lot of parents come to me before a diagnosis without an official diagnosis because they don't want that diagnosis and they prefer anything else but the autism diagnosis. So
the autism.
The pediatrician sometimes doesn't want to give a diagnosis, and what they will do is give something like highly sensitive child or food aversive or anxiety, right, of a 2-year-old. The initial problem I had when I heard this from a parent years and years ago was, okay, so when, if there is a diagnosis with that kind of specific name, and I talked about this with the PDA diagnosis, but when, or even ODD, highly sensitive person. So does that mean you have to stay in a bubble the rest of your life? Does that mean you're always going to be sensitive and we have to walk on eggshells? Does that mean that you're not going to be able to do anything because you're sensitive? Does that mean your parents don't have to set boundaries? And when I hear that, because when I hear like diagnosis of something, that means it's a part of you, right? Like, I mean, it's you, it's you're deaf, or you are a person with Down syndrome, or, I mean, that's different medical, or you are autistic. So just like oppositional defiant disorder, it makes no sense in my head that someone is just born oppositional, right? The wording doesn't fit within what makes sense to me. So highly sensitive means, that means you're highly sensitive and there's nothing we can do, right? Like you have hypertension, we either control it or medicate, right? So for me, after listening to parents and then they say highly sensitive, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, your child is simply autistic, right? And I try to guide them from, let's talk about their sensory needs. And then I kind of get into the connection to an autism diagnosis, because typically parents will prefer that, or they will tell that to their child instead of telling them they're diagnosed with autism. They don't want their child to feel like they can't, so they will just tell them ADHD and highly sensitive, right? And so then that causes the dynamic of, now we have adults on social media who are pissing off Torin.
Well, that's normal, and these aren't the only people that piss me off. Pretty much everything does. I do have a follow-up question. So for adults, you're talking more from the perspective of kids. For adults, if an adult gets diagnosed with HSP, it's generally because a doctor sees this person. They don't fit their stereotypical
autism.
Mm-hmm. In other words, they're too high functioning. I hate using functioning levels.
I know, but that's what the perspective is. Yes.
That's from their perspective, they're too high functioning. It's like, they might have a job or a family or not, I don't know, be like pissing on walls and rolling around their own shit or whatever goes through these doctors' heads.
Yes.
So they're like, okay, we know there's something not quite right because they're reacting to things that normal people don't react to, or at least they're reacting in different ways than normal people react to.
Much more extreme.
But I would even argue in the case of adults, it's not even much more extreme. It's just different, or it's enough, or it's just enough that it's annoying people and it's kind of being an issue in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to say they're autistic because that they just held a conversation with me. They make eye contact because there's no such thing as masking to these people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're female or female presenting. That by itself is almost eliminates autism in their mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
They have 2X chromosomes. They can't be autistic. So they say highly sensitive person.
Yes.
So I wonder, is it similar with kids? Obviously, it's a little different where they're, like you said, their reaction more extreme. But do you find that they're more likely to get labeled that diagnosis because doctors view them as being a little too high functioning, in quotes, to be autistic?
You know, actually, I don't see that as much as I see things like giving little children a diagnosis of anxiety and ADHD. And I'm like, they're 3. Like, anxiety and ADHD, they're three.
Well, I would argue you can have anxiety as a 3-year-old if your autistic and sensory needs aren't being met. That will cause.
I totally understand that perspective. But the people who don't understand and need their narrative shifted need to understand that it is autism, and because they're not supported, they are experiencing a lot of anxiety. Other than saying they're anxiety disordered, they're not autistic, right? Which that just medicates. They just medicate. They don't support. They just medicate or teach them breathing techniques, which for a three-year-old is just ridiculous to me. But anyway, people do it. Whatever floats your boat. So I don't see.
I think breathing techniques are ridiculous, no matter how old you are.
It doesn't do anything for me, but apparently some people feel like maybe it's like, let's not even go there. Because I just went on a hole in my brain, like way outside the box. But what I will say is this, now that I'm processing verbally and you're asking me this question, I do tend to hear the highly sensitive child more from, for lack of a better term, upper middle class white families. I do not recall ever hearing that for any of my families who are not that, my Black and Brown families. So I don't know if that is because of like suburban doctors pass the word around and that's what they want to use because it sounds cool. And what I will say is, sometimes a diagnosis like highly sensitive child is an excuse to not set boundaries. And well, that's just, and you use that as an excuse for your child to do the things that they do because it's too much work to support their needs or to set boundaries. And so the child is able to do things and the parent just says, well, they're just highly sensitive. Like we need to give them everything they want because they're highly sensitive, right? So that can sometimes be a cop-out because it sounds like something that you can't do anything about, right? They're just highly sensitive. They're highly sensitive. They're going to be highly sensitive all their life. So that's my perspective, or my experience, actually, not my perspective. That's my experience with that terminology.
In the doctor's defense, well, you would if you were a doctor, but most people, if they were a doctor. And so my mom was a prototypical Black mom who like didn't mm-hmm. believe disabilities exist. I do not envy any doctor that would have to tell her I was autistic because none of them told her that. They would tell my dad, who was a bit more receptive to the idea, or that like I needed any sort of, remember, my mom didn't even want to hear the fact that I had hearing issues, yes. even though she had hearing issues herself. That's where I got yes. them from. So if I was a doctor, I'm not like, if I have one of those parents, and you can tell just when they walk in the office, and I might have highly sensitive, I look at that and go, yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Just like for a lot of adults, if you look on social media, all people saying highly sensitive, almost uniformly, they're females and female presenting people, because yes. no doctor is going to tell a grown man they're highly sensitive. No. You're like, no. Sir, we believe you are a highly sensitive person. The fuck you call me?
Yeah.
Like that would yes. be, that would be the reaction. Nothing
that would good be the response. And then, that would also validate that they're highly sensitive.
Exactly. Well, no, as men, we're not sensitive. That's not a sensitive reaction. It's a fact-based reaction. We have fact-based yes. reactions, Stacey. I'm not getting angry right now. I'm getting factual.
Oh, is that what it is?
Exactly. Well, I will say when we raise our voice and seem to be angry, yes. we're spitting facts. We're being uber logical because we're men. We don't have emotional outbursts. Men don't have emotional outbursts.
Got it. My oldest son is very different than that. And he is, for lack of a better term, my sensitive child. And I think he is, you know, the older he gets, the more I realize the similarities. And I'm like, he's just like an empath like me, right? Like he just feels more. It's just from a testosterone hormonal level. So it presents extremely emotional. And he's always been that way. I mean, I remember when we watched a documentary on the harp seals and he was in the second grade and like the cycle of life, right? Somebody eats the harp seals and the harp seals eat fish and somebody's mom gets eaten. That's how the animal world is. And he was struggling with that. But then the documentary started talking about people slaughtering the harp seals for the oil or whatever it was that they were, whatever they were getting from the harp seals. And he was so upset about that. he went from, this is second grade, and like failed everything. Like, you know, their weekly spelling test. His teacher messaged me and said, is everything okay at home? And I said, oh no, we watched a documentary on the Harp Seals. So he's really sad about the Harp Seals, and he cries about them every night, and he's not sleeping, and this will pass. This is pretty much his typical routine. She was like, oh, because he was that kid, and he still is that kid. Anyway, I don't know how we got on that, but...
But that's actually relevant to our next topic, the next thing I want to transition to, which is the idea mm-hmm. of gendered autism. I'm going to attempt to keep a straight face, but full disclosure, my opinion of gendered autism is similar to my opinion of virtual autism, if y'all listen to the episode on that, meaning I think it's total bullshit, but it's like hilariously bad. To the point I can make jokes out of it, even though I probably shouldn't, because the idea can be harmful. But you mentioned something about we said men don't have emotional reactions. The idea of gendered autism is that autism presents differently in men and women mm-hmm. because trans people don't exist in this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that's the big hole in the theory, straight up.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm
gonna play devil's advocate here. So. Their idea is autism presents differently in men and women. Women tend to mask more, which is actually true, but that's not inherent to the autism. But they say women tend to mask more. They tend to have different special interests, which is also true. They tend to be more, they don't tend to have meltdowns. They tend to shut down instead of meltdown. I'm trying to think of some of the others. They tend to be less into like the STEM fields,
mm-hmm.
so science, technology, engineering, and math, because as you know, all autistic men are in the STEM.
Yes, of course they are,
as you know, which is a big problem with gendered autism is the yes. idea that it's based off autistic men act a certain way, because people mm-hmm. feeling this clearly have never met an autistic man in their life, or they met like that one white kid.
Yes.
They've never talked to like any POC autistic people, none of that. But the idea is that's female autism. Male autism is the stuff you see on like Big Bang Theory. We're in the STEM, we like mm-hmm. trains.
Mm-hmm.
Trains are a special interest of mine, full disclosure. Yes. We like history, which I do too. We like, we tend to be very concrete thinkers, which is true, but that's all autistic people. But this mm-hmm. idea that only men, autistic men, are like concrete thinkers. We like yes. routine. We tend not to be very social. That's a big difference. They'll say female autistics have friends. Male autistics don't want to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole three-parter on that.
Yes, we did.
On the issues with that. So that tends to be the difference. But most of this is BS. But what I do believe is there is a difference in behaviors at times. I hate to use the term behaviors. We're so against the idea of behaviorism. But there is a difference in behaviors, especially in adults, because of hormones. So you mentioned yes. about your son. We go from being just normal sensitive, like any sensitive child. Men, once our testosterone kicks in, as I said before, we don't have emotional reactions. That's a woman thing, Stacey. That's a women thing.
So you guys throw a chair and put your hand through a fist through a wall instead.
It's like put a fist through a wall.
Yes.
I hope you hear the sarcasm in my voice. We need to do something violent. We don't have like we don't self-harm. What we do is we just put ourselves in situations that we know will cause harm to us.
Yes.
Which somehow doesn't qualify as self-harm. I don't know why. If you're going to do something, you know it's going to be... Anyway. So our reactions to sensory needs not being met, to struggling to adapt to a world that isn't always friendly to us, tend to not always be different. A lot of that is due to socialization. Men are socialized different than women. That's just first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think pretty much everyone will agree with that.
Yes. I literally have four ticker tapes running through my head right now. I can't wait till it's my turn.
Go for all four of them at the same time.
The first one is, I feel like such a proud mama, the way you said y'all with a Southern accent. It was really just made my heart.
I always say y'all.
You said it today with some good Southern twang. Good Southern twang today. It just was
weird.
Just made me just smile with glee. However,
next thing you know, I'll be saying Mira with like the RA, like Aura.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. So I was thinking one of my ticker tapes was about the socializing, right? So when I think of the hormonal perspective, right? It's not that girls who have hormonal changes, puberty, their menstrual cycle, PMS, cramps, don't want to punch a hole through a wall or punch someone. It's we have been socialized that we are not supposed to do that. And boys, and we're overgeneralizing, of course, but this is very stereotypical in most cultures, are socialized to express and hit something, and it's okay. And I say this because I was watching a series that I just wanted to watch again, and I started watching on the plane, and it's the House of Dragons, because I really want a dragon. Like, I really want a dragon, and I want to ride a dragon. And there are scenes, and I love this time period, even though it's a horrible time period, but I love movies in this time period. And I was, you know, now I'm ranting, watching movies on the plane, because I don't get to do that very often. And it's the time period where women were not only taught to like mask, right? Like even something like childbirth, right? Like this woman was telling her daughter, you shouldn't, you know, women are to be strong. You can't express your pain during childbirth. And her daughter was like, what the hell? Like it freaking hurts, right? And she's like, ladies don't do that, right? Like your husband will. So all of these things, right, that they used to verbally directly say in those days. And of course it's a movie, but you know, this is taught that women are supposed to endure pain and suffering, right? Like that's our role. And so epigenetically, it's in our DNA, right? Even though we're trying to change it generationally, it's still socialized. And we're all guilty of doing it and not even realizing that we're doing it because it's so ingrained. But that's part of it. That's part of it because, you know, we make jokes all the time about, you know, the boys are throwing chairs and the girls are screaming. I'm over generalizing, but that is conversation.
Or you'll have girls that tend to shut down.
Oh, definitely.
Now, except they have boys do that too. It's yes. Just those boys just don't get diagnosed. That's cool. Yes. What do you call a male autistic that has shutdowns, that meltdowns? Undiagnosed. That's what you call it.
Yes, undiagnosed. The other part, ticker tape that was in my head was just listening to you and thinking of the gender of, you know, what it looks like in girls and what it looks like in boys. And I'm just going to put on my child development specialist hat that I don't mention very often, but in my experience as a professional, but also my knowledge base, but more so what I've seen over the years in various different cultures, there are a lot of things that are very typical that I see in boys that I do not see in girls, right? And so I always make a joke, and I even did it in Guatemala when the little boy was doing the water beads, and within 2 seconds, he's trying to figure out how to squish and crash them, right? To break them, the little water beads. And I said to his mom, it's so funny. I never see girls try to break and crush the water beads, and all the boys want to crush the water beads, right? Which is very stereotypical, but boys like to see things blow up and crash, and it's encouraged. And so girls are not encouraged to do that, whether they want to do it or not. But there are things that, whether it's because of socializing, because of culture, because of modeling, because of innate desire, patterns that I see within boys, but it's not because, I don't think it's ever specific to autism. I think it's just developmentally socializing boys and that testosterone versus non-testosterone and how engaging and interacting with the environment. And I'm going to stop because now I feel like I'm rambling, but that is my ticker tapes in a nutshell. And I forgot one of them because I typically don't have four.
Well, just like a ticker tape, the problem is it doesn't stop, it just keeps going. So it's like when you see the cry on the news and you see like the last word or something, you're like, wait, what blew up? And then you have to sit there for another 5 minutes and wait for it to come back around.
Exactly.
So ticker tape's probably a really apt description. I'm really working on pronouncing the R and probably. It's one of the things about being deaf all my life is that there are certain like pronunciations that I've only noticed since I have to edit this podcast where I'm like, ugh, I sound a little special. But to get back on track, one thing I find interesting that you mentioned is about how women are socialized that like they're not supposed to show pain or show struggle. Because men are too, just in a different way. For men, there's this glorification of you don't complain about stuff, you don't show when you're in pain, you don't go to the doctor if something's hurting unless you're dying. You be very stoic. No matter how bad a situation is, you don't have reactions to it, which is funny because that's the ideal, but that's not how like people actually are.
But they're allowed to express it in a duel. They're allowed to express it in a fight.
They're allowed to express it through anger. Like you're allowed just to be like you're allowed to be angry and violent.
Yes.
So instead of complaining about like you're having chronic back pain, instead you get into a bar fight or something. Because that's considered socially acceptable. But I find it interesting. There's this like glorification among men of not saying when you have a problem, of just sort of letting it build up till it explodes.
Yes. Yes.
So I did find it interesting. And with a lot of autistic men in particular, that's an issue because a lot of autistic people in general are going to, and this I find presents itself pretty much all along the autism spectrum, is this struggle to fully identify emotions and understand when you're having them and when they're coming, especially big emotional reactions, when they're coming on. I feel like many autistic people, regardless of support needs that I've met throughout my life, that I've worked with, even adults, have this issue. In fact, the adults that don't seem to have this issue, they did it one time, almost universally. This is like a universal one. There aren't a lot of universals in autism, but this is one of them. And I feel like for a lot of men, and obviously it presents differently with women in this case, because men are told to not really show emotion, to sort of just tamp it down. And if you even are thinking negative emotions, like you're thinking, like let's say I don't sleep the best. I have a lot of like anxiety and stress stuff, so I don't sleep very good. So if I get like 4 hours sleep, I'm going to be screwed up next day. My executive functioning is going to suck, but it's just innate in me to just be, I'll be fine. And not even make, instead of doing the smart thing, which is, okay, what needs to be done today and what absolutely doesn't, because my spoons are going to be limited. My executive function is going to be limited because I got 4 hours sleep. Instead, I'll just try to do everything. In fact, I'll try to do more because limiting myself acknowledges that I didn't get enough sleep. And therefore I feel like I'm being a bitch. Where it's like, no, I just need to do it. So I'll try to do everything and then inevitably run into the ground. And then,
of course,
be very unpleasant for the people around me by the time night comes, because I'll just melt the fuck down. And even though I know it's not a good mindset, it's almost so ingrained in me. I don't know if I can change it. I'm just being honest. And I feel like a lot of dudes were basically told, don't have emotional reactions. And if you do, only anger is acceptable in certain times and places. But if you're struggling, don't talk. No one wants to hear you complain. That's something we all hear. No one cares about your problems. No one wants to hear you complain. So I feel like for a lot of autistic men, that plays into our already existing struggles of identifying. I believe there's a name for that, struggling to identify emotions. I just can't remember it.
Is it alexithymia?
I think so. I don't quote me. I believe it's that. Alexithymia, whatever it's called. I believe that's what that is. And I feel like it plays into that because not only do you already struggle, you're told it's good you struggle with that. And you should struggle more with that because that's what being a dude is, because no one cares if you express your emotions.
Exactly.
So I feel like that's one of the reasons you get those stereotypical autistic dudes that seem to have no emotion unless they're really, really angry. It's because that's been this societal carrot and stick that's been sort of instructed into us, and it plays with already existing issues that come with autism. And I'm sure, I'm not a chick, so I don't know, but I'm sure with women there are similar sorts of issues because of social learning and societal pressure. And that's the last thing I want to cover on this topic is intersectionality. I'm not going to go into a definition for the sake of simplicity.
Yes.
It also presents, it also, your growing up and background is going to affect it. Black men are going to mask more than white dudes.
Yes.
Autistic, for a simple reason, if we have to, for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea of gender autism is just wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying because I keep having to see it on social media. And it's mainly, I'm just going to be frank, it's mainly white women. It's mainly white women who are pushing this, who have never, of course they've never talked to a black man, because these are the same people who, when they see me walking in the street, they either cross street or walk faster. I'm just being honest. I'm a 6 foot tall black man. That's just my reality. I have to be careful because people get a little skittish, and when they get skittish, they call the cops.
Yes.
Anyway, the last topic I want to cover is this idea of what's known as Aspie supremacy. So that's the idea that, like, higher functioning autistic people, one, they will flaunt the fact that they are higher functioning. They're like, I was diagnosed with Asperger's back when that was a thing. And often, and these are men. So the last one, gender autism, this tends to be pushed by white women. This one is pushed by white men mostly.
Yes.
This idea that, because no one feels like they need to explain, come onto your page and explain to you the way white men do. And I'm sorry for getting political, but that's just a fact that straight up. So they will come on and explain to usually autistic women. This is that there's definitely a strain of sexism going on here as well.
Yes.
Sometimes it's me too, which makes me laugh, but generally it's autistic women on social media. And they'll come in and explain how these women are not really autistic because they don't act like normal autism, or their autism is different because they're high functioning like them. We're different than the people. They'll always be like someone who like can't speak and melts down.
Mm-hmm.
Like high functioning autistics don't have meltdowns, which is a hilarious thing to think about because holy crap. But I do believe it's important because it's not just limited to social media. There's this idea, even in the diagnosis process, and this idea, because, and I'm going to let you in on this because you can explain this for kids, all the negative implications of the idea of the functioning system. Actually, could you explain some of these? Obviously, we don't, if we listed all of them, this would be a whole episode in and of itself. But can you name like just some of these issues?
Yeah. So typically, that's one of the reasons why I don't like the level one, level two, level three and functioning labels of high functioning, low functioning, because one of the biggest problems is it is assumed that because your child is level one or high functioning or Asperger's, then, oh, they don't need any supports and they can pass, right? They can pass. And I don't need to tell them, or I don't need to like make a big deal out of it. Or, oh, look, they're doing so well in school. They don't need any supports from the school's perspective. The other dilemma is it breeds parental competition. I mean, to the point where it tears apart support groups because parents have literally, I mean, I facilitate a parent support group, and I had to have a conversation with one of the moms who was a delightful woman, very delightful mom, and it was her first time joining. And she literally said to another mom, oh, I'm just so glad that my child is high functioning and not, you know.
Why would you say that? Like, just comment, even though nothing about, why would you say something like
I know,
that?
Because it makes parents feel better about their child and their situation.
Yeah, but why would you say it to another parent out loud? Like, that's just being a person.
It is. And it's projecting. It's totally projecting. I know I have a little bit more tolerance for people doing stupid stuff than you do, Tara, and I get it. But that's what it is. They're projecting that, and they're trying to convince themselves because they're totally still not in acceptance. I mean, I could write a book on signs of a parent who says they accepted their child and they really haven't. I can tell you all the signs.
Well, this is why, just like I couldn't have kids, I could never be in one of those support groups, because someone said that, I'd be like, lady.
Now we're getting canceled.
Now. I made sure it happened. I don't get that. Like, I know you're explaining it, but I don't get why do you have to say, because even if you believe it, just mm-hmm. even from that perspective, you believe your kid is higher functioning, therefore you are better off than that person. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that out loud then? You're saying that because you want to be mean. That's why you are saying it, because you want to be mean. You understand what you're saying. You're saying it because you want to feel superior to that other person.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That's what I mean. That's just being a bad person.
Yes. Which goes into the SB supremacy. It's even from the parent perspective.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. You see it even from the parent perspective.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I've, you know, had parents in trainings that will even say, well, my child just has Asperger's. And I'm like, so why are you here if they just have Asperger's, right? Like, and besides the fact that that's inappropriate and insulting, why are you here, right?
We are currently having technical difficulties while Stacey's mic shut off. I might not edit this out just for fun. I might just let it run for a little bit.
I'm back.
I was gonna go off on a whole rant if you were gonna take another couple minutes. Yeah, I think I'm gonna leave that in. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I did not know that, but it makes so much sense that you can have Ashley's supremacy even from the parent perspective.
Yes.
I don't know why I find it funny, because I find inappropriate things funny, but obviously. But the idea that, oh, my kid is just, my kid just has Asperger's. And you'll say this in like a support group, or you'll say this in like therapy or something. It's like, if they just, why are you here? Like,
yes.
You're here because of something wrong. It's like, that's like going to an AA meeting and being like, oh, no, I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink recreationally. Then why the hell are you at an AA meeting?
Exactly.
See, now Stacey had to change locations, and now she's sitting in the dark, so you can't see this, but it's just her silhouette. She looks like one of those people, like, when they're saying something that could get them in trouble on the news, they block out their faces.
And
they don't have a voice. That's exactly. Like, I keep expecting you to sound like this, because I can't see you.
Exactly. Sorry about that. Unexpected.
So sometimes I like to leave these in just to get a authentic feel to this. But yeah, I am very glad you brought that up. And that is a major issue, because amongst the issues with ASPE supremacy, by the way, an ASPE is a nickname for a high-functioning autistic, someone with Asperger's. It's kind of a phrase you don't really like to use anymore for reasons I won't go into right now, but it's harmful because, one, for parents, it might help the parent cope. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's cope.
Yes.
But it also precludes them from getting the help and the support their kid needs.
Of course.
On top of that, it alienates them from other parents that could help support them, because they want to feel like they're better than them. And like you mentioned, it also blocks their full acceptance, because there needs to be a certain acceptance. I get it, but I hate saying acceptance, because you shouldn't need acceptance. Your kid is just your kid.
Yes.
And it's not like they're going to die or something. Like, I could see acceptance for, like, I don't know, your kid has, like, grayscale from Game of Thrones or something, where they're going to turn into a statue inevitably. Yeah, that takes acceptance. That takes, like, work to get to the point that your kid is going to be a statue. I get that. But, like, the kid is just different.
I would like to propose that this be our next topic, acceptance.
Oh, I was going to say grayscale? I was like, saying a Game of Thrones podcast. Yeah, acceptance. Yes. I actually love that. We're batch recording due to poor planning on my end. And so we're sort of brainstorming ideas. I like that. So, and I'll make sure that they'll come out back to back. Cause I like that, talking about acceptance. Cause I think that's a thread that runs through this whole episode, is acceptance of your autistic identity, or acceptance of your kid's autistic identity.
Yes. All right. I feel productive.
I think this is where I think we should bring it in here, because.
Yeah, this was a good discussion.
I got to rant about some things I don't like, at least a little bit. I could actually go on all day about how much, like, certain white autistic men just need SIFU, like seriously. Like they don't help the community. They just go on and spread. I won't get into it. So Stacy, that's why we're working to
shift the narrative on everything autism. And I know this is supposed to be the end, but my last words to listeners are, you know, we bring up this topic and because it is in social media and things need to be talked about and things need to be cleared up, because it's really not about the gender. It's about the neurodivergent person and what supports they need, whether it's levels, whether it's gender, it doesn't really matter. It really is about what they need and as an individual human being. So we are talking about it so we can shift the narrative on everything autism.
No, you have to put your hand over your mouth because you're in the silhouette. And that's what says, that's what we're working to.
We're talking about shift the narrative on everything autism.
See ya!